Hello and welcome to episode 5 of the show. I'm your host, Endgamer, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Yo Blazer.
You know, NG, most people don't realize this, but I actually stole my always a pleasure catchphrase from Dr. Yukio Hattori of Iron Chef fame. Dr. Hattori, who received a PhD in medicine from the esteemed Showa University and served as president of the Hattori Nutrition College, provided commentary for the show, blending his expertise in nutrition, his famed sense of humor, and an unrivaled grasp of culinary history. The good doctor provided keen analysis for nearly every episode and remains, to this day, one of the most popular personalities in Iron Chef history. Now, unfortunately, or rather comically for us, Dr. Hattori was a prideful man, and he believed that he actually could provide a suitable challenge for the Iron Chefs. He battled Iron Chef Japanese Michiba in 1994 in the famed Battle Truffles, where it was quickly discovered that commentating in Kitchen Stadium and battling in Kitchen Stadium are two very different things. Hattori suffered a resounding defeat wherein one of his dishes, an unusual truffle sake, was later described by Chairman Kaga as one of the three worst dishes he had ever tasted on the show. And in case you haven't figured it out, I'm rambling because that is exactly how boring this last week of matches has been. But it is still always a pleasure.
You really went the extra mile there to prove a point, but it is a good point. And because these matches were not exactly intense, we got a very entertaining group with us tonight. And our first guest was voted the favorite guest of anyone on the very first season of the show, Kool-Aid.
Well, I didn't know all that popular. And I can't find an introduction after Yo Blade's amazing rambling skills. So I'm just going to say, oh yeah!
Joining us also, someone who no one else seemed to like, but I kind of like the guy. So we brought him back. And that would be Apple Kid Josh.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm joined here with my host, as always, Mr. Ingamer. Ooh. I can't believe nobody likes me. I'm a likable person.
He's your key to 18-year-old panties, everybody.
Wait, okay, no, that's not cool.
So anyways, not the greatest set of matches, but a good group of guests, so hopefully we will be able to keep it entertaining for you here on episode 5. Let's start out with the matches themselves weren't great, but I think what we're setting up for in rounds 2 and 3 is going to be quite good in this division. That is Phoenix Wright's division. And the first match there was the one we have talked about the most so far this season. Phoenix going up against Gordon. We called it a coin flip. We thought it was going to be really tight. Ended up being not quite as exciting as we hoped. 56% win for Phoenix there. Yo, were you disappointed that that didn't turn out to be more of a nail biter?
No, because I think my Oracle prediction was 57%, so I was happy with that. A lot of people, by the time this match actually happened, were expecting a performance really, really close to this one. And I think we had seen, you know, plenty of matches that kind of proved the writing was on the wall. And you factor in the fact that Phoenix and Edgeworth had an awesome picture. You know, Freeman and Breen, they looked, you know, very boring and ordinary, like everybody expected that they would. And it just kind of became just another match. I tried to hype it up and say, like, this is an awesome board 8 match for board 8 by board 8. But at the end of the day, it just wasn't exciting.
Yeah, if you had told me heading in that it was going to be a 57%, or I would have been pretty disappointed because I really thought it was going to be a 51-49 kind of pull, but Yo was right there. The writing was on the wall. We knew rivalries didn't matter. We knew Gordon didn't stand out in the pick, and so it was about what I expected.
Leading up to the match, some guys tried to eye me talking about, so what are you picking? You got the one perfect battle bracket, right? So what do you pick? What do you think will happen? Like, dude, Phoenix Wright's going to win, all right? You know that. I know that. We all know that. The contest stinks. Stop trying to hype it up. This stuff is going to be really amazing. It won't be. And look what happened. It was an ulti-style blowout. We don't know what ulti-style blowout means, but there it is. And it was kind of expected. At this point, we just kind of like throw a hand in there like, wow, when's the first exciting match going to happen? When's the first close match going to happen? Will there be one? Does it look like it's going to be one? Fighters, trainers, when is that? Like 2 weeks from now? I don't know. I'm kind of bored of it all. But I got a battle bracket, so I'm kind of interested in it.
Yeah, the other thing I wouldn't have believed is that I was so sure I was going to bank on this match in my battle, because I usually try to play that more conservative. But I waited till like the last 10 minutes, and I was just like, what possible case is there for Gordon winning this or keeping this really close? And I just didn't see one, so I ended up sticking with Phoenix. And AKJ, one thing that was a little interesting about this match is the first time that the site has beaten us, and by us I mean the gurus of Board 8, 57% correctly picked Phoenix and only 55% of gurus. So we do look a little silly there.
Well, okay, two things. Like, one, that's really close anyway. But two, for me, I don't know, it was never even in question. Like, the site has, it's not the same as when Gordon was able to beat Phoenix, you know? And so far this contest, going with Marvel versus Capcom hype, has not failed me yet. And I'm going to keep going with that train. So I'm not really surprised.
And a quick break in the action to say that the next match has started. Squalls,
yes.
And he's out to kind of a disappointing start here. Only 65% we're 2-3 minutes in right now. Yo, were you like me? Did you say he'd get 75 here pretty easily?
I think I had the exact tripling, yeah. So Pretty Boy Squall is off to an ass-tastic start.
Excuse me. I predicted 68, so...
Whoa.
I mean, this is all
great job.
Me.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's good.
Just saying.
No, that's well
also,
done.
Also, I got vote number 10. I'm just proud.
Ooh, nice.
By casually clicking.
Put that in your refrigerator.
Oh, good idea.
See, you're usually not up this late, AKJ.
Yeah, right.
Get those
I
in,
never
so.
See the matches change. I'm teaching during the class, in class when it switches during the day, and I'm asleep at night, so I never get to see the fun.
You never miss anything, don't worry. Not this year.
But because of the show, you can say you got a top 10 vote this contest.
Yeah, yeah.
Brag these students about that one. Stayed up late and voted this poll that nobody voted in.
Wow, and Squall's actually still falling.
Yeah, this is quite poor.
It is literally worse than Tara and Kefka.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot worse.
It's
way worse.
Oh,
like they might.
That Kefka result is making less and less sense to me.
Yeah,
everything we've seen since then. Because I was like, you know, Cloud has to kill these RPG characters. Look what Kefka did.
And Cecil. Cecil, like a nothing rival, he did a really good job against Luigi. And since then, Square has kind of sucked it up.
Is Midboss like a better rival than I thought? Has anyone here played those games?
No, he's not.
No, not
I mean,
really.
He was decent in the first game, but the reason people love Laharl is because he keeps coming back in every single game. He's funny in all the games. He's always making fun of whichever main character you're playing as. Midboss rivalry is only in the first game, so it's sort of like, you know, a couple of the other characters kind of got screwed because their rival is from a first game when, you know, we don't remember the first game anymore.
It might have been somewhat Board 8 factor, because now Squall is, he just shot over 68 and he's going up pretty quickly. All right, so let's get back to the action. And Phoenix won, as we said. And then in the next match, we had the Castlevania duo going up against the Mass Effect duo. We expected that to be about a 60-40. And instead, Castlevania did a little bit better, 63%. Yo, what do you think? Was that a good showing? And should they still be a clear favorite over Phoenix in round two?
That is a really good showing. That's all Alucard really needed to do, prove that he wasn't threatened at all, and to go out there and do it in a day match. And I think most people assume that, you know, Shepard has the advantage against Alucard in the day. To kind of get near the doubling there, you know, I think that even though Phoenix overperformed, Alucard like left no doubt in anybody's mind that he's definitely the favorite to reach the finals, and based on what we saw in the next couple matches we'll discuss in a minute, I think now he could be reasonably considered the favorite to win the division.
Well, I was the one back a couple episodes really hyping up Mass Effect, and no, Shepard's better. People are excited for 3, a day match, this will be good. So for him to go out and overperform my expectations by I think a good 4 or 5% was very impressive. And I got to agree, I do think he's going to be a pretty clear favorite against Phoenix next round.
I have to agree, but I want to like go on a little tangent a little bit and that I've submitted so many female Shepherd pictures.
Oh. Like,
so many. Really good pictures. And the only reason I think FB Allen didn't put them up, because he's afraid of sexist facts. He might have saved a little embarrassment. And so, I don't know whether to thank him or hate him a little bit more.
He fears strong women is what it is.
Yeah, that might be it.
The writing's been on the wall for years. I mean, he's obviously a chauvinist.
I mean, have you seen his PSN tag? I can't even say it on here. There are children watching and listening to the show.
Ooh, oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
I literally threw up when I saw it.
Jesus Christ. You know, I actually submitted a female shepherd picture, too. And my male shepherd picture was actually the one that got chosen, and the female shepherd one was exactly the same, except I removed the standard male shep for fem shep, and I thought it actually looked a lot better, because the male shepherd one, he's like, looked way too dark. Female shepherd kind of, she popped out, she had the red hair, she looked way more awesome, but he still went with the more drab male shepherd, and I think, there's really only one explanation.
Really only on one explanation. She had breasts, other guy didn't. He went with the guy.
It's kind of sad. Here we are in 2011, and we're still having this discussion.
It keeps me up at night. I think about it.
What an infidel.
Infidel?
But I think the conspiracy goes even deeper, because Alti put many hours into a banner for the whole contest that had all kinds of sprites of characters, and then right in the middle of it, he had Fem Shep.
Yep.
Front and center. And SP was like, oh, that looks so good. And then he rejected it and is not using it. So clearly he has a bias against female Shepherd.
There's some issue. There's some certain issue with that anybody can see.
So can I ask then, just speaking as somebody who hasn't played Mass Effect, and maybe there's two of us in the audience as well, when you're a different gender, is it the same character, though, like in the game?
It is essentially like they have the exact same lines of dialogue. It's just there are some different options, obviously, with who you can pursue to have like romantic relationships with, based on whether you're male or female. But you could still be like evil or good, whether you're male or female. The only difference really is who's delivering the lines. And most people, I think, they agree that the female Shepherd has a much better voice actor.
Except FB. Right. They mostly use the male Shepherd as advertiser, but like a lot of people complain. They say, oh, well, here's Fem Shep. Here's a popularity contest. You like the redhead? Here's a redhead.
Although Fem Shep did get on the collector's edition of ME3, right?
That's right.
Instead of male Shepherd?
Equality.
So finally getting a little representation. Not like on GameFAQs.
Oh, not on GameFAQs. FB Allen is not getting collector's edition.
Not cool. Okay, so the next match ended up being a little closer than we thought, but still was never really in doubt, and that was Portal against Earthbound and GLaDOS' team, one with about 59% of the vote there. Yo, was there anything that surprised you about that result, or is that about where you had it pegged?
I can't remember. I think it's probably around there, and there's nothing even remotely interesting about this match in and of itself, but it was made very interesting by the match that happened just 12 hours later.
Yeah, so let's jump right over to that, because that was Frog's team, who we had high expectations for, and instead they go up against MGS, and wow, not a good showing, 56%, when we expected them in the Oracle to do like 64%. And wow, Kool-Aid, do you think they are going to be in trouble against Portal in round two?
Maybe not Portal, but I know they're not winning a division. I think it just goes to further my theory that the only people who really give a damn about Chrono Trigger now are Board 8, and we just kind of all have a big echo chamber. We just say all our opinions are the same thing because we know more about the content than anybody else. We all have battle brackets or whatever. And then we got results like this. Well, he gets 56% on Raiden and Vamp, who look like they're about to make out with each other in Mass Effect. No one really likes the characters. And, they can't be favored going into, Alucard and Shepherd. They might lose the GLaDOS and a Shell. That's true. You make a good point, Ingamer.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty worried about that match next round. I think I'd still like Chrono Trigger in a night match, but Portal does pretty well during the day. And we saw that probably stung Frog in this last one.
Well, I mean, I've had I have GLaDOS over Frog in my bracket.
Oh,
I mean, yeah, that was just obvious to me because I'm an expert analysis crew member, but the results are lining up exactly in there. I'm not worried at all. I think GLaDOS has this.
The weird thing about this, though, to me, yo, how could Frog look so bad? And then the match that just finished up, we all said, uh-oh, Chrono's in trouble. Snake against Liquid, this is a good rivalry. These guys are way stronger. Snake would beat Chrono 1v1 anyways. This is going to be a pretty easy win. And instead, he really hung in there well, keeping Snake under 59%.
Yeah.
So what's the difference here? Why aren't people respecting Frog's rivalry?
Nobody has any idea about what the difference between the two matches is. I've been thinking about it today, and I've been kind of dumbfounded. It makes no sense whatsoever. And one of the only things that I thought of at the time when Frog and Magus were stinking it up is that, you know what? This is one of the only pairings in the entire bracket where neither one of the guys is the main character. So, like, even for something like Ryu Ken, Ryu's like the main character of Street Fighter. Sub-Zero and Scorpion, both of those guys are kind of like the faces of Mortal Kombat. They're obviously the main characters, you know? But if you just go down the list, almost every other entrant has the main character in that series, like the main hero, as one of the entrants. Frog is not that guy, and Magus is obviously not that guy. So I'm wondering, maybe they're hurt by that.
That does make sense. I guess on Board 8 we just assumed, well, so much of the site has played this game and loved this game, it does well in contests, that they're going to know enough to know that this was the real rivalry in the game. But apparently that just was not the case. If you force me to pick right now, I think I would go with Portal in round 2 between the two of them. I think it will be one of the best matches and should be close either way. But
mm-hmm. Also, Chrono had a really awesome match picture by a guy on our show right now.
Oh!
And Frog and Maggot did not. So, that might have helped a little bit.
Yeah, definite props to Yo, who made that Chrono pick. I really like these match picks that are kind of in-game and put you in the moment of one of the big scenes from the game, and I think Donkey Kong Country pick did that, and I mm-hmm. think this Chrono one did as well.
Yeah, Yoli Bailey, you said it took you like a 17, 18 hour from that match picture, right?
I don't know if it was quite that long, but it took me a good chunk of time. Just the names alone, they took a long time, and my philosophy is that I'm going to make match pictures for the entrance I really, really, really like. I'm going to spend a lot of time and try to get them to look really good, which is why when I saw the Frog Magus performance, I kind of shit my pants, and I spent like 3 hours making the best Frog Magus match picture I could, and I submitted like two different renditions of it to Bacon already, so I'm hoping, man, because that one's got me scared next round.
Yeah, the Chrono Lava picture is really good, man. It makes me really believe Chrono Lava is all like a real rivalry, instead of like Chrono being a mute guy and Lava is a big giant monster that talks to anybody.
Yeah, that's what I went for, because I just played the game and I thought, okay, this is not a real rivalry, but they've got this one moment in the game, the first time they meet, that's really, really powerful. So if I could like kind of just throw that front and center, it might help them out a little bit.
Yeah, that was a good choice.
I like that.
Nice work. And so now let's talk about the other big issue from last week. Is Link doomed? Is he going to be in trouble now that rivalries matter? And we got to see him perform. He went up against the Warcraft duo and scored 85% of the vote. I think that was, not quite up to Mario's percentage, but right there
a hair behind him.
A hair behind Mario's, but I think against stronger opponents. Seems to have solidified his spot as still number one, even with this new format. And then Cloud. Wow, what can you say about that Cloud performance?
Ouch.
Many things. Maybe not positive things, but many things.
We expected
Let's
him...
Let's mosey on out of here.
After seeing what Link did, we gave Cloud quite a bit of credit. We said, he'll do about 83% against these Tales of characters that have looked pretty crappy in recent years. Instead, he did not make it to 77%, one of the bigger underperformances we've seen this whole bracket so far. And so, are you giving up now on your warning salvos? Is the law just going to apply again this year?
I will admit that there has been a gradual regress in the sheer volume of warning salvos fired toward Link in the past week. I will admit this. That said, Yeah, I mean, it's you know, my thoughts on this have changed a little bit. They have to after that performance. I mean, Link, I didn't expect him to match Mario's performance against a team that has a much different appeal. PC guys in a night match, you know, they've got Warcraft going on. The pictures look a lot different. Link had the worst, most god-awful picture in the whole contest so far. And I'm not saying that because I'm an elitist or something. That picture was really bad. And you know, he still went out and put up 85% in a contest where I think most of us were thinking only Mario is probably capable of that kind of percentage, because we saw that Link was getting anti-voted last year, you know, kind of like to a smaller extent than Cloud was. He came out and Link, you know, left no doubt in everybody's mind that he was game. So the only thing now is, are Cloud and Sephiroth game to take him down? And you can't tell too much from a first-round match against Fodder, but this is a bad start. And the fact that Square has, you know, looked bad since then, in the last 2 days since, kind of like compounds that kind of bad feeling about anybody beating Link here.
Had to expect this a little bit. I mean, Cloud he did 66% on Ryu, you know, pretty impressive, and yet he couldn't manage 72 against Chris and Ridley and Falcon. So we kind of knew, okay, they're getting anti-voted, but it just seems like you add Seth to the equation, you make rivalries matter, and they're going to at least get to 80%.
When I saw the warning salvo post or whatever, I don't know if they're in jest or sarcasm or what. Because, I mean, there's a lot of factors, a lot of rivalry factors now, but they're forgetting the one most important factor, which is the Link factor. One rivalry has Link on it, the other one does not. All right? And that's usually just the end of the story in this contest for the last few years. And another thing, I don't know if you guys heard a couple rumors about, but this is one game coming out. I think it's called like a Skyrim Sword, something like that. It's apparently very, very anticipated.
Spend money on a 7.5 out of 10 game anyway?
Yeah, I heard it's got one 7.5 review from like one guy who might be dead by now. But besides that, it's getting almost universal praise from pretty much everybody. But yeah, I heard it's pretty anticipated. And people usually don't hate Zelda game until a month afterwards. They say, wow, the game is terrible. Wind Waker was amazing, and so on and so forth. So I think he's going to just ride that to just blow away Cloud Sephiroth. Like, it's not even going to be close.
Oh, no.
AKJ, are you going to be the one guy to stand up for Square?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, like you're saying, it's getting harder and harder to do it. But, I mean, I have to believe that the people that still show up to vote, and, you know, every year there seem to be fewer of them, they can't want repeat winners like that. In what kind of tournament or contest anywhere are people just happy having the same winner over and over? It doesn't make any sense to me. Link is like the Yankees, and everybody else in the country is like, okay, anybody else, please, Cloud, please, okay, can you please win this one? That'd be great. And all I want is for this to just be a fluke, and Cloud will steamroll the rest of the contest and take it, and it'll be wonderful and remind me of my good memories of Final Fantasy VII, but I'm just so worried that it's not going to happen, and I don't want to see another Link victory.
Right. See, Yankee fans want the Yankees to win, and the Link fans want Link to win, and that's just going to be the bottom line on this one.
I had a hand down my pants for that entire monologue there.
One thing I'll say in FF7's favor is I do think that they're at a disadvantage in these 12-hour matches. And we saw that in this one already. Cloud got out to an atrocious start. I think he was the initial vote was like 58, and then he just hung around at like 62, 63 for a while. And as you see, eventually almost made it to 77. So they do turn things around in a hurry after a bad first hour. And in a 24-hour match, that is going to help. If that can help enough to get ahead of Link, I really doubt it after how good he looked in round one. Let's think positive here and move on to a segment, Stars and Turds, but positive thinking. Let's start out with some stars from the second week of action. And AKJ, start us out. Who really impressed you?
I was really happy with Phoenix. I mean, I expected it, and then just to see it happen right where I was wanting it, I was just really impressed. Basically, he was living up to the hype that we had been the whole contest. Well, since rivalries matter, and since he's going to get a great match picture, and since he's, like I said, in Marvel versus Capcom and get that MVC hype, and then here he does pretty good. So I was really happy with that.
And Kool-Aid, where are you going for your star?
Star? I have to go with Alucard and Dracula. Now, I know it's kind of a controversial win due to misogynist actions of the GameFAQs owner, but it was a very strong victory, I thought, over Shepard and Saren, and he's looking like the division winner right now.
Can't disagree with that. As much respect as I have for Mass Effect on this site, that was just a strong performance, maybe the best of the week. Yo, what are you thinking for Star?
Well, I was thinking to go with the bosses, but I'll let you have that one for the end. Yeah, I will go with Chris Punch the Boulder Redfield and Albert Wesker. They did a great job, and we are all looking at the Oracle versus Actual spreadsheet here. We expected them to win with 63%. They came out and won with just shy of 80%. Is that the biggest?
Just barely under what Sub-Zero did.
Yeah, but I mean, it is close. It is close. And it's not just the fact that, you know, I love the Resident Evil series. I love this rivalry. I love Wesker. You know, so it made me feel good to watch him go out there and totally kick butt. I think this is another salvo for smart voter facts. Because, you know, as much as I would like to believe it, Chris and Wesker, they're not strong enough to actually, you know, do 80% like this. It's a combination of, you know, their rivals not really being rivals, and their rivalry, even though it's from a very small-time series on GameFAQs, it's a rivalry that everybody knows. So, like, you know Chris and Wesker is the main rivalry of Resident Evil against this non-entity, this really non-rivalry, and you're going to vote for them. And that's the only way that they could put up 80%. So I like the fact that it's another, you know, it's kind of like another piece of evidence to the credit of Smart Voter Facts.
Yeah, Dan was my turd for this week, just in that, I mean, we obviously didn't have expectations for this Street Fighter rivalry, but you should not let Chris and Wesker almost get 80% on you. And it's just absurd, especially because we already knew that rivalries mattered, and so we jacked up our predictions to account for that, unlike with Sub-Zero, where that kind of came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And yet they still almost beat that percentage. Just crazy.
Yeah, I think some people actually had Sagat and Dan winning.
My star of the round, as Yo Blazer called, it's got to be the bosses. We had a fairly decent amount of respect for Tidus, but boss went and killed it. 55% was what we were thinking there. Instead, the bosses almost got to 60%. I thought it was a very impressive performance.
Last week, I remember saying that if the bosses got 60% in this match, then Samus is going to be in trouble. Lo and behold, they get 60%, and yes, I think Samus is in trouble. I mean, we've got to admit here that Tidus and Jekt is not like Yuna and Seymour. It's an actual legit rivalry. Like, it's, you know, throughout Final Fantasy X, the relationship between these two characters, father and son, it's building, it gets emotional. Obviously, there are boss fights involved. And it's legit. Whoops. Nobody saw that one coming. You know, it's a legit rivalry. And the fact that the bosses, two characters from definitely a weaker game, can go out and do this to them, that, you know, that spells really, really good things for this rivalry. It shows that people care. It shows that people understand this is a great rivalry. And, you know, once again, Samus, her rival is pretty much, I mean, let's get serious, like a violent, overgrown turkey. It's not that much of a rival, and like she could be in real big trouble here. I could see her going out in round three.
Looking forward to it. Actually, I'm looking forward to seeing how Kefka does against her as well.
Yes, me too.
That result is looking more and more absurd, as we've seen Square continue to struggle. But wow, how did Kefka go out and almost do 80%? Especially, as I said, with Cloud, 77, Kefka, 79. Like, what's wrong with this picture? Let's now talk about turds. Yo, where are you going? Who was a big disappointment in week two?
I'll say Frog Magus for someone else as well. I'll take Zidane and Kuja, just because we know their path, but they had an ugly, atrocious match picture that just kind of revolted me to look at it. Just something seemed really off about that match picture. You know, like, Some entrants can look ugly on the front page or stupid. That one just kind of, like, forced me to shy away from the front page for a while. And killed my Oracle. I think it was one of the matches that kind of started the trend of Square not looking as good as they had, like, a week earlier. So that's bad for that company, obviously. And so, yeah, they just had a overall crappy performance.
And Leon's going to disagree with me here, but I agree with Yo. I think a lot of that had to do with the match pick. Meat Boy already against Dr. Fetus. I mean, it's a ridiculous name. It had some joke appeal, but I think that match pick really sealed it. They stood out, and people who were on the fence, I think, went for that, and it probably did swing this by 3 or 4%. And we have a better idea on that because this match started out without a match pick. SB screwed up there. So it came in later, and then Meat Boy immediately started doing better. Kool-Aid, where are you going for your turd?
Frog and Magus, because they sucked.
Yes, they did.
Plain spoken.
The site apparently wasn't that surprised, though. That was actually a pretty big swing. Only 66% of the site picked them to win that one versus 97% here on Board 8. So we might be a little bit biased there. AKJ, where are you going?
Well, I will say my first pick was also Zidane. And it's less to do with him and more to do with the idea of going up against an indie game character, essentially, and not completely demolishing them. I realize they have more respect now than it's growing all the time, and Steam sales and indie bundles and all this stuff, but it's still a Final Fantasy character going up against somebody that you'd only hear about if you're on the internet all the time.
Yo, Josh, I'm surprised you even know what Meat Boy is.
It was an item in a Binding of Isaac. I've never played the real game.
Yeah,
there you go. And aside from that, can I just mention again? I don't know if anybody's heard about this, but Cloud did really badly.
Yes.
I'm still upset about it. Yeah.
I
can't say it enough. Pick it. Get it together, Cloud. Get it together. I am relying on you.
Meat Boy is really fun, so I'd highly recommend it to anyone. Next time it's on a Steam sale or Xbox Live Arcade sale, you should probably pick it up.
InGamer is just saying that because he does get paid for the endorsement.
Oh, not get into that.
Exposed.
One other thing, I do think that Pac-Man did quite well in his match. I just got to give him some quick props there. Not a huge overperformance, but he did about 64%. We were only thinking like 59.
Hey, InGamer, didn't you mention you looked it up and he's never had a true retro picture?
That is correct. I couldn't believe it, but he's always in the past gotten stuck with his 3D platformer goofy looking picture. And that's even in the four ways, like no one ever just gave him the classic Dot Eater 2D look until here. And guess what, Leon? Good match pick, and he overperforms by 3 to 4%.
There you go.
Once again, confirmed, match picture matters.
It's just science now.
Exactly, 3 to 4%. Yes, exactly. All right, so the last segment that we have is talking about the battle brackets. And as of right now, we did lose one somehow. Someone did go with Chrono yesterday. So we're down to only 130 remaining.
That's a manly tier salute right there, whoever went with Chrono.
Sorry, buddy.
And I believe that of those 130, three of them are in the room right now. I am one. Are you, Yo?
Yep.
And Kool-Aid, I think you're one of the 130 as well?
Oh, yeah.
So we are well qualified to give you advice if you are on a good streak yourself. Today's match was obviously not going to be in question, but tomorrow's match, a pretty tough one. Yo, what do you think? Should people be banking, or do you feel strongly about one of these two characters?
Yeah. This is a tough one, first of all. It is probably the last tough match until well into round two, probably until, you know, Frog and Magus made theirs a tough match. And what I was first thinking is that you've gotta risk it. Because a group of 130, I mean, it is just so hard. Because what you want, nobody really cares about beating Bacon and getting 10 karma or whatever it is. You want some money, you know? You want your name in the top 10. You want to get some video games and stuff. And to get in the top 10 out of a group of 130 who really understand the contest, you're going to have to take some risks. So far, we haven't needed to take any risks. And, you know, this Ramza one is actually starting to worry me a little bit. That's what I was thinking a while ago. Like, you've got to risk it. You've got to go well into this thing, probably through round two. Now I'm not so sure because I get the feeling that these 130, they're all like the same group of guys. They're on Board 8, they're regulars, they follow the contest. If they're not posting on Board 8, they're probably following the topics. And we might, you know, the people who are in this group of 130, we might have developed a little bit of hive mind syndrome. So let's say if like, you know, if you predict something bad might happen tomorrow, you think Ramza might win, and he does, that might eliminate like 120 of the 130 brackets. Right away, boom, we're all back to zero, and whoever banked or went with Ramza, they're suddenly sitting pretty. So if you feel in your heart of hearts that a big upset's coming and it really might happen, then I would suggest banking, because if that upset happens, you're well ahead of everybody, because it'll kill everyone, all of those 130. It'll massacre almost all of them.
I was so sure that I was going to bank on this one because it just feels like a really horrible match. Mm-hmm. And, you know, fodder versus fodder, you just never know which way it's going to swing. Mm-hmm. And you'd hate to lose your entire contest on a dumb match like this.
Yeah.
So I was just like, bank, take the points. But the tricky thing about it to me is there are so many easy picks after this,
mm-hmm.
where if you could survive it, you could keep building and really get a huge streak going for yourself. I wish like two of the next four were debatable. Then you'd be fine, just bank it here, get your points, and don't. Then you can be aggressive with these next questionable matches. But I don't really see that, so now I'm kind of on the fence. I don't know quite what to do.
But the thing is, of the 130 who are left, I guarantee you like 125 of them are thinking the exact same way that you and I are right now. Right. We're all thinking the same way. So, like, you know, if this match, Ramza, Siegfried, was tough, and then following it was another really tough match, we'd probably all bank. You know, so it's going to be really hard to get ahead. I think you've got to, like, call one well where you bank at the right time, or you just go through a gauntlet of, like, three or four really hard matches and nail them all. You know?
Just so you guys know, you'll be able to do some reverse psychology, telling you guys to pick Ramza so you can lose and take more money. But anyway, I talked to the battle contest winner of the last one, and after I got his autograph and everything, I asked for some advice for the next contest. He said the key to winning is not to lose. And what that means is,
holy crap,
the bank,
the
bank, and let everybody else blow their wad at some crappy match like Shadow Colossus on Metal Gear Solid. Let them wipe themselves out. Let them get really confident, overconfident, and arrogant with their picks. And then you come in, you have all the money saved up, everyone else is bankrupt, looking out for handouts, and you're the one with all the money on top. And I looked at him, I said, wow, that's genius. He said, yes. I get out of my face. I got money to spend.
Oh, my God.
Well, that in mind, are you going to be banking on tomorrow's match?
Oh, no, I'm going Siegfried.
All right.
But you other guys out there, you might want to go Ramza.
Is this podcast going to be out in time for this to actually...
No, not at all. Nope.
Okay.
No.
But
it's good to get opinions on record still.
Sure, of course. In that case, nobody will see it before my crew write-up pops up, so I'll just go ahead and say that I'm going with Ramza here.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm taking it.
If only you actually had a battle bracket.
I know, right?
You make it all look stupid right now.
Perfect up until now. We'll see what happens. That would just be amazing if I literally went the entire contest perfect in the crew topic and then didn't have a battle bracket.
Didn't have a battle bracket.
That's, that's even worse than Palmer.
Yeah.
He put an entry out, man. Dang.
Palmer was like an amalgam of perfect ingredients. It was like the tastiest contest stew I've ever tasted. I don't know if anything could top Palmer.
Right. It's like 8.8. It can never happen again.
Yeah, it's not going to happen again. Like, I've tried so hard to feign anger at 7.5, but it's like, I don't give a damn. Just give me the game. But 8.8 was so special. Yeah.
We're just too self-aware, too cynical now. We can't do that again.
The thing I'll say about Yo's take is I do agree that, like, of the 130, probably a bunch are alts, there's maybe 100 actual people, and probably like 85, 87% of them post on Board 8 quite a bit, and we're all talking to each other, and we're all thinking it through together. And I just think that we've been so far off on so many of our predictions this year. I mean, we've gotten lucky in that we keep picking the right winner, but clearly we don't have a very good handle on the way people are voting. If you look at how far we're missing these percentages, and I think something is gonna come out of nowhere and blow up the brackets here in the next two or three rounds. And if you are thinking, oh, I'm just gonna go all the way and streak it all the way, I think it's gonna blow up in your face eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if it blows up in your face, it's probably going to blow up 90% of those other Board 8 brackets, because we're all thinking so much the same right now.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. I mean, if you think about it, it was just like 3 days ago where we were off by 16 points in the Wesker match. If we're off 16 points again and the match itself is like a 60-40 or closer, well, then that's a reversed result right there. That's basically like a Kefka Arthas from last year. So just because we've called them all right doesn't mean we've actually been doing a good job calling them accurately. We've been way off on a lot of these, and it's only a matter of time before something bites us.
Right. That's because you undermine me, Albert Wesker, to win the contest.
Seven predictions.
7 days until I win this contest.
This contest seems especially boring because we have never had a contest where no upsets happened. The closest we've had site-wide was Big Boss. He was at 55% of the site. And we've never gone all of round one. We've actually never even gone 25 matches without there being some kind of upset. So that makes it look dull, but we still don't really know what's going on. I mean, we're way off on our actual percentage picks, so I do think something weird is going to happen somewhere down the pipeline here.
I think a while ago, I jokingly said that 59 is the new 53, and then it just kept happening over and over, and we just have not had a close match, and I cannot figure that out. Like, that something weird is going to happen because of that, I think. I don't know.
And the other thing that we don't seem to understand is just a week ago we were saying blowout facts. That's a new trend. If you have the better rivalry, you go out and you hang 80% on the other guy. And then this week, that blew up in our face as well. We thought, oh, Cloud is going to put up a huge percentage. The FF9 guys are going to blow out these download-only game, and that didn't work out. And so even the blowout facts trend isn't really holding up.
We are holding up the ulti-style blowouts.
Yes.
That's really the important thing, guys.
Fair enough, fair enough.
30 out of 30 so far.
Nice.
Yes. All right, so that is all that we had for this week. Yo promises to bring back Divine Prophet and Infidel next week, right, Yo? No.
Amazing silence. Amazing.
That depends, my friends, on you. You know what? If we see something exciting, obviously I'll bring it back, but nothing's been closer than 55-45. Nobody's gotten that angry about any result. There haven't been any BioLizard meltdowns because there hasn't been anything to melt down about. I was gonna bring it back and say, like, oh yeah, I give Infidel to the whole board for the 7.5, but honestly, guys, let's be realistic. That's kind of lame. So not too much I can do right now.
So that's all we had for new content this week. Yo Blazer, thanks for coming on. I believe you had one thing to plug as well.
I've actually got two things to plug.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm going to be greedy today. Are the GameFAQs Contests Hall of Fame, the final voting topic is now up. If you're interested, just search for GameFAQs or Hall or Of or Fame or 2011. It's right there. Can't miss it. If you like the contests, if you know this kind of thing appeals to you, just check it out. It takes less than 2 minutes to vote. You can vote however way you like. I will accept all the votes. Have a grand old time.
And in this round, sorry to cut you off, but I believe it's just 30 characters, and all you do is give a simple yes, no, as far as are they hall worthy.
That's exactly how it is, yeah.
So very easy. You don't have to think hard about what character should be there. The ballot is made. Just give it a simple yes or no.
Right. I'd like to plug once again, I know we've touched upon this a lot, but match picture making, a lot of people have brought up my match pictures recently, and it feels good to be complimented. But I want to tell you guys, it's not because I have any artistic talent at all. Like, I still struggle drawing stick figures, and, you know, I could make a match picture that people seem to like. So if you're interested, if you've got, like, an image in your head of a great match picture for any character that you like, you know, talk to Zen, talk to Ulti, even talk to me if you want, although I'm still a novice. And it is just a lot of fun, and I'll tell you, like, it's made this contest a lot more fun for me.
Oh, can I do a shout-out?
Sure thing.
My friend Albert Wesker wants to do a shout-out real quick.
Ooh.
Yo, Albert, get on the phone. What? Get on the phone, man. Oh, fine. Hello. My name is Albert Wesker. You may know me from such games as Resident Evil, Resident Evil Nemesis, Resident Evil Umbrella Chronicles, and Resident Evil 5, that dastardly Chris. I... Because the bills are piling up, nuclear bombs and all that. I have a new phone sex line. You can talk to me for 7 minutes. That's right. 7 minutes. Just you and me. Call me now at 1-800-TRASS.
And that is why he is the greatest guest of all time. Kool-Aid, great work.
How do I compete with this?
AKJ, thanks for coming on. Thanks for staying up late with us.
Of course. It's all worth it so I can advertise the crew.
Ooh, the crew.
The crew has, like, three awesome people on it, like me and Moltar and Lopin, and then there's some other guys, I think, that they write things. I don't remember who they are. One of them was some kind of former rival of mine, but he's a loser. And now there's this new guy, Dante. He's new to the board, and oh my gosh, he's trying to step up on me, and I just got to publicly call him out here, and I'm just going to say right now, this guy's got nothing on me. He's a loser. I'm going to hand him his ass in the contest and all across the board. So if you see him around, just let him know I'm coming for him.
Whoa. Who is this guy again?
Some Dante guy.
Picking on new people, man.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, I can't hold it anymore.
Yeah, not quite sure how he got on the crew.
Oh, I could tell you. Everybody else said no. I mean, it's a very strict evaluation process to get accepted to this prestigious celebrity panel.
Oh, they're like applications and everything?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, Moltar sends me an email and says, you're doing the crew this year. And I'm like, this is a joke email, right? He says, all right, well, I'll accept your first write-up coming soon. Okay.
All right, man. Thank you.
Moltar is incredible. He sends out emails to 20 people to join the crew. All but 7 of them say no. And then I send him an email threatening physical harm if he leaves me off the crew. And he does it anyways. For the third year in a row.
That sounds about right.
Wow. You can still latch him on at the end.
Yeah, I don't know if Moltar listens to this cockamamie show, but yeah. In the 0.5% chance that he's listening in this week, I'll say that he's probably one of the most underrated, you know, users, people, funny guys in the history of the board. Just when I read his stuff, if I'm feeling in a reading mood, or when I read his intros to the crew and everything, that guy just has me in stitches. He's just a great, great guy.
I consider myself it's an honor to call him one of my best friends, my best online friends. We hang out all the time on Lou Links and just in real life, too, when I go up to Chicago. So good times. Love that guy.
I think this might be the longest outro of all time.
This is one more minute, and it's longer than the actual analysis of Matt's
records. Right. Like, this match sucked. This match didn't suck.
I did want to bring up one final point that I've just noticed. It seems that Squall Leonhardt is managing, as we speak, a Cloud-esque meteoric rise in percentages. This might actually be more than what Cloud and Sephiroth themselves have risen. So it doesn't seem like the Final Fantasy hate anti-voting is exclusive to 7 anymore. You know, I guess it's like a product of Squall always winning. I'm so sick and tired of Leonhardt winning all these damn contests. It's about time he gets his comeuppance. But yeah, there you go. If you had Squall with the tripling like both of us did, I think you might actually be in pretty good shape now.
This is crazy. We're like an hour in now, and suddenly he's at 73%, which is basically just where I thought he'd be. I thought he'd rise a little more overnight. Mm-hmm. But wow, what is up with that Board 8 hating this guy all of a sudden?
I think it's the opposite. I think they just love Laharl. They're all a bunch of weeaboo nerds, and that's right in the wheelhouse for Laharl, right?
That's true. I think Squall is tainted by his second name. The association on Board 8.
Oh.
Oof.
I don't understand when this rivalry started.
Ouch.
Just don't understand.
Literally the best rivalry of the contest, Ingamer versus Leonhardt.
Yeah, I don't get it. We're going to have to bring him back just so I could understand what the hell's going on.
We're going to need like a history of Board 8, Ingamer versus Leon comic. Another one of those. Ulti would come in and call everybody fags.
Bunch of beta males, literally.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so that is it for this week of the show. Be sure to join us next week for episode number 6. Don't know if there'll be anything exciting to talk about, but hopefully. Actually, next week might be a little weird because starting only 2 days from now, we're going to go to 24-hour matches. So we're actually not going to have as many matches to talk about. So let's just cross our fingers that at least one of them is worth talking about.
Starting about 3 days from now, we're getting Zelda, so unfortunately I'm not going to be here. Enjoy the rest of the contest season, everyone.
Ooh, that is true. Maybe we'll just have to talk about video games a little bit more next week.
Wait, the 24 hours start next round?
Yes, it's only round one that's 12 hours.
We get 24 hours of Mario vs. Bowser,
yes.
Mike, and Black Knight.
Yep.
Yeah, there are parts of the next round that are making me so, so thankful that a lot of good video games have come out right now, because it's looking, like, really bad.
I'm looking at this bracket, and I'm imagining 24 hours worth, and my eyes are falling out of my socket thinking about them.
Yeah. Last year, I think 24 hours should have started one round sooner. Here, I think they really should have started one round later. Just
there's
to say
no
it's
pleasing you contest.
I guess. All right, so come join us next week, and hopefully we'll have something cool to talk about. Well, then, this is Endgamer in the Show, signing out. Waiting for